Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. From time to time, I am asked, what do I treasure most about Christmas? And I'm sure it's something that you've also been asked before. Now, before I tell you what I treasure most about Christmas, I just want you to think about it for a little bit. Because when I've asked that question of others, I've heard so many different things. For some people, they tell me that the thing that they treasure most about Christmas is the gathering together with friends and family, especially those that they haven't been able to see in a while. Those college students are now home for their semester break, and so they're gathering with their family. Or perhaps it's sons and daughters and grandchildren who now live far away who have come home for a visit. Or perhaps it's even those aunts and uncles and cousins that you only see on special occasions, whether it's holidays or weddings or funerals and the like. When you talk to other people, it's the food. The food is the thing that they treasure the most, whether it's, of course, grandma's special lasagna, or it's dad's turkey with all the trimmings, or it might just be big sister's baked ham with that artery clogging ham gravy that certainly keeps your cardiologist in good cars throughout the years. Other people, of course, it's going to be the decorations and putting up the tree and all the ornaments and putting the lights on the house and all that goes into that. And let's not forget the children and some of us who are young at heart who treasure the most at Christmas, the presents that they open up under the tree on Christmas morning and sometimes on Christmas Eve night. The presents that they ask for and the ones that are a surprise, or maybe even the presents that are fun to play with, along with the educational presents that they're given. The presents that we really, really enjoy receiving, and the ones that, of course, we rewrap and pass on to someone else. These are things that we all treasure about Christmas from time to time, and for me, of course, as you might expect, it is gathering together on Christmas Eve to worship the Lord for the gift of his son, Jesus. I know I'm not the only one. Now, how many of you are surprised that a preacher would say that in church on Christmas Eve? But still, there are many people who just can't wait, like me, to gather with the body of Christ to hear the familiar passages read from the scriptures and to sing the traditional Christmas carols, to hear the well-prepared and executed anthem by the choir, to sing our favorite Christmas carols. And of course, to finish this service in candlelight, singing together Silent Night. To me, there are a few things better than this about Christmas. But I think we can all agree on one thing, and that is this, that there are really many things to treasure about Christmas. And it is why Christmas is a season that fills so many people with joy. With joy. And we look forward to it, and we look forward to this Christmas season so we can capture some of that joy that comes from all these things we treasure during the Christmas season. Even so, we know that that is not the case for everybody, isn't it? Because the things that we treasure most about Christmas and the things that often fill our souls with joy during the Christmas holidays, these are not guaranteed to take place in everybody's life, and certainly not year in and year out without fail. Sadly, we all know some people who haven't experienced that kind of joy in these treasures of Christmas for many, many years now. Untold circumstances can steal these opportunities for joy away from us, whether it's illness or aging, whether it's family problems or financial strains or even the loss of a loved one. Each and every one of these things can be what takes those moments of joy away from us during the Christmas holidays. But as the Christmas story reminds us, or certainly should remind us, there is so much more to treasure about Christmas than just all the customs and traditions that we often fill our Christmas holidays with. In fact, many of us allow all of these customs and traditions and all these expectations of the holiday to crowd out and even outright replace what we are ultimately meant to celebrate during the Christmas season most of all, and where the best and the lasting joy of Christmas always can be found, no matter what else is going on in our lives at the time. And as we heard a few moments ago, it is Mary, the mother of Jesus, who shows us the way. The Bible tells us that Mary also treasured many things in her heart about Christmas. And what we see her treasuring, and the way that we see her treasuring it, is what we should pay attention to tonight. Because if we treasure what she treasured, and if we treasure it in the way that she treasured it, well, that will make all the difference in our lives, not only for this Christmas season, but for each and every single day of our lives. And as you might already suspect, it is all the difference between trying to find our greatest joy in all the customs and traditions of Christmas, or trying to find our greatest joy in the coming of Jesus Christ into this world itself, and what he means to us, and what he will always mean to us, no matter anything else that might be happening. Now, before we go on, I don't want you to get me wrong, because the customs and traditions of Christmas should make us happy, and they should be treasured by us, because they are all blessings from God, and they shouldn't be taken for granted. We should look forward to gathering with family and friends, shouldn't we? We should take joy in eating a meal together, especially a great meal, Grandma's special lasagna, and gathering together and singing our favorite Christmas carols and hearing the good news of great joy once again during this holiday season. These are all good things for us and should be treasured. But none of these, we know in our hearts, are not the most important or the most significant treasure of Christmas. As Mary reminds all of us tonight, Jesus is, and all that he gives us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is what we need to treasure. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, the following. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Many of us just read right past that verse and go on to, and the shepherds left rejoicing and praising God and telling everybody what had happened to them, right? I mean, that's my favorite part usually, and I skip right over the pondering Mary, who's treasuring up all these things in her heart. So allow this to be what we focus our attention on tonight. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. And let's begin by asking what it means that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. It means most of all that what she had heard and what she had seen and what she had experienced in the coming of Jesus Christ into this world was unmistakably precious to her. They were of great value and meaning to her, so she held them dear. She cherished them. And as a result, she stored them up. She protected them. She kept them safe and secure in her heart. Why? Because they were so precious to her, she didn't want to ever lose them or forget them or allow anything in her life to steal them away from her, no matter what trial or person or circumstance would come along in her life. No. She's holding on to these things for dear life. For dear life. Because they are life, aren't they? This is what the coming of Jesus into this world and into her life meant to her. She treasured him and everything about him. But that's not the only thing she did with them. We are told that Mary also pondered them in her heart. And this is an important insight that the Bible gives us. The word that is translated in English, pondering, actually is an accounting term. Any accountants here tonight? They will tell you it is something that you work through in order to add it up, in order to figure it out, in order to comprehend and understand it. In other words, it means a great deal of time and mental effort was being put in by Mary in order to understand what everything actually means, what Christmas actually means to her. She didn't just sing the carols, right? She wanted to know what they meant. What were they saying? What were they teaching us? She took the time and put in the effort to really come to know and believe what was happening. In other words, she didn't just give it a passing thought and then just forget about it. No, she meditated on them. She went over them again and again, determined to understand them. And she certainly had an awful lot to take in. As we can hear, Mary treasured up in her heart all these things. That is to say, all that she has heard, all that she has seen, all that she has experienced about the incredible conception and birth, the unique person, and the saving purpose of Jesus Christ, which is, in fact, what Christmas is all about. So let's just think about it for a moment. Ponder this with me, and ponder it with Mary, if you will, what we all heard just from the angel Gabriel, what he said to her in the very first passage that we read tonight. That'll keep us busy enough for the next few minutes. Because what Gabriel announced to her was that the greatest event in human history was about to take place. That is the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, into this world by the grace of God in order to save lost sinners like you and me. That's what's taking place. And it's absolutely incredible. So ponder this, Mary. No wonder she was pondering these things. Because Mary hears from Gabriel first this: "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, with these words, Gabriel is pronouncing God's grace upon Mary. God has chosen her, singled her out for a special blessing. The word the angel used for favor is the same word in Greek that we get the word grace from. In other words, it is more literally translated that the Lord graced her. The Lord was going to grace her with this child. It means to be treated with unmerited favor and undeserved kindness by God. Martin Luther once paraphrased this greeting to Mary in this way: "Oh, Mary, you are blessed. You have a gracious God. No woman has ever lived on earth to whom God has shown such grace." Absolutely. And what was this grace? Well, we hear that she was going to have a child. She was going to have a son. But not just any child, not just any son. Because Gabriel goes on to tell her the significance of the conception and the birth of this child, his unique person and his saving person, her purpose. In other words, he goes on to explain to her the meaning of Christmas. Ponder this. First, the angel told Mary to call his name Jesus, which means God saves. So even in the announcement of the birth of this child, his name reveals to the world his saving purpose. He has come to be our Savior. As we know, he will bring salvation to us sinners by dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin and by rising again from the grave in order that we might have new life in him. So clearly, Jesus is the long-promised salvation of God who has come into this world in Jesus Christ. This is the first thing that Mary has to think about and what the angel said to her. But next, the angel tells Mary that Jesus will be great and that he will be called the Son of the Most High. Gabriel then uses a similar phrase just a few moments later, calling Jesus the Son of God. Now, both of these titles testify to the divine identity of Jesus. That is, Jesus is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, our eternal God, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Are you pondering this? She had a lot to think through, and so do we. Going even further, Gabriel also tells Mary that Jesus has come to reign in majesty, to sit on the ancient throne of his ancestor David, to be not only our Savior, but to be our Lord and King, the one who God has promised to rule over his kingdom forever and ever. Mary, that's who this baby is that you're about to be given. This was the angel's announcement. Mary would give birth to a son, and she will name his Jesus, meaning God saves. And he has come to be our long-awaited Savior and Lord. And all this was taking place in fulfillment of God's gracious promise to his people to come and usher in his long-awaited kingdom forever and ever. How's that, Mary? It's absolutely breathtaking, isn't it? Absolutely breathtaking. And so we are told, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Can anything surpass this in filling a person's heart with awe, with praise to God, and with unsurpassing joy? Which is what Christmas is supposed to do for all of us, isn't it? Regardless of the tree or the decorations or the visits or the, you know, the baked ham or anything else, this is it. This is what it's all about. Now, if that's not enough, Mary is given even more to consider. And so are we. Because we are told that Mary couldn't understand how all this was going to come to pass because she is a virgin. Mary knew enough about how babies were born into this world to know that this was impossible for her at this time in her life. So she had to ask, how will this be since I am a virgin? Notice Mary, unlike others, like Zechariah, if you were following during our Advent series, he doesn't question what the angel said to her. In other words, he doesn't question that what the angel said to her was going to happen. No, not at all. She simply expresses that she doesn't understand how it will happen. How will this be, since I am a virgin? It was a good, honest question, and so the angel Gabriel gives her a good, honest, and altogether helpful answer. He answers by saying, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Then he goes on to assure her, "For nothing will be impossible for God. For nothing will be impossible for God." Notice, the angel Gabriel did not give her a biology lesson. He did not give her a physics lesson. Because none of that would have helped her. It would not have answered what she really needed answered, what she really needed to know, what she really needed to understand. To do that, as you can hear, Gabriel turns her thoughts directly to God. He turns our thoughts directly to God, to who God is and how he works with great power and purpose in this world. He assures her, "For nothing will be impossible for God." Of course, we think everything is impossible when we keep forgetting about God, as if this world doesn't include God. But once we believe that this world does include God, well, then everything changes, doesn't it? And of course, we see that this changes directly for her as well. This is what she needed to know, to think about, and to understand, and so do we. Because Mary asked the same question that many people are still asking today. How will this be? How can a woman become pregnant without having any kind of relations with a man or without going to a fertility clinic today? How can this be? The answer is actually as simple as it is life transforming, because the answer is this: because God exists and God works with great power and purpose in this world. That's what the angel told Mary. And so you heard her response, didn't you? "I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be for me according to your word." That's all I need to know. God exists and he's powerful and active in this world. That's all I need to know. You see, now, if this is the case, if this is true that God exists and that he works with great power and purpose in this world, then the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ is really not much of a brain teaser as much as many people would like us to believe. Because once you allow for the existence of God in your worldview, then there is nothing unreasonable or illogical or even unscientific about a miracle like the virgin birth ever taking place. Because if God exists, if he created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, as the very first verse of the Bible insists, then God can easily supply Mary with a single Y chromosome for her to conceive a baby without any help from a human father. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. If you believe in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, because everything flows from there. It was R.C. Sproul who once rightly said, "Once you believe the first verse of the Bible, then everything else the Bible teaches us becomes believable." Mike Fallon said that at Bible study just last week. He didn't know he was quoting R.C. Sproul. Or maybe R.C. Sproul was quoting you, Mike. You see, this is vitally important to our faith. You see, the virgin birth of Jesus is not an optional teaching or belief of the Christian faith. You see, without Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, as we Christians profess in the Apostles' Creed, then he could not be our Savior. And we would remain lost and alienated from God and condemned in our sins. Because this is the truth of it. It is Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit of God that makes him divine, that is, fully God, sharing in the godness of God. And likewise, being born of a woman makes Jesus fully human, sharing in the humanity of Mary and sharing in the humanity of you and me. This is what theologians call the incarnation of Jesus, being fully God and fully man. Now, why did Jesus come into this world like this? Why did he believe it necessary to be both fully God and fully man? And why is this something so important that we are supposed to treasure it and ponder these things in our heart? See, the answer is found in the fact that Jesus needed to be without sin in order to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, in order to take our place on the cross. Because as sinners, we cannot save ourselves. In fact, we increase our sin and guilt every day. And we cannot assign just another regular human being to take our place, because that other regular human being would just be a sinner just like us. As the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and no one is righteous, no, not one. So that only leaves one person who can possibly save us, and that is God. Only God can save us. However, it is we humans who have sinned and not God. And so it's we humans who should be paying the penalty for our sin and not God. So what we really need is somebody who is fully God and fully human to pay the penalty for our sins. As one of the great minds of the church said back in the 11th century, his name was Anselm of Canterbury. Very, very simply, he put it this way: only God could save us, but only we humans should save us. And this is precisely who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. As fully God and fully human, Jesus alone has the right and the ability to save us. He alone can act as our human representative and our divine Savior. Folks, this is the meaning of Christmas. This is the significance of Christmas. And it is absolutely glorious to behold in our hearts and in our minds. I mean, does this not fill you with a sense of awe and with praise to God and with an exceedingly great joy in the wisdom, power, and glory of God, not to mention the tender mercy and the amazing grace of God towards us lost sinners? How can we not sing with the angels and rejoice with the shepherds and ponder these things in our hearts along with Mary, not only tonight, but every single day of our lives? This is the good news of great joy that we need to ponder again and again, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because this is what fills our hearts with joy. Not to mention filling our hearts with faith and hope and strength and assurance that nothing on this side of heaven could ever steal or take away from us. They can't take away Jesus from us. They can't take away our salvation from us. They cannot take the joy that we have in knowing that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that is true for everyone who believes in him. For we are here tonight. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. May this be so for you and for me, so that the joy of Christmas could be yours and remain with you always. Let us pray together. All glory be to you, Almighty God, our Father in heaven, for the gift of your Son, our precious Jesus, who has come to us to seek and to save the lost. Help us, we pray, to always know that our greatest and most wonderful treasure in this life is Jesus Christ and all that he gives us. For it was by his love that he emptied himself of all the glories of heaven and willingly suffered all the weakness of our flesh, even death on the cross, that all who believe in him shall not perish but receive eternal life, to become your redeemed and beloved children in him. Therefore, we worship and praise you for your tender mercy and your amazing grace, poured out to us in the incredible conception and birth, the unique person and the saving purpose of Jesus, who we joyfully proclaim and lovingly serve as our Lord and Savior, our God and our Redeemer. So grant us, we pray, a spirit of hope, knowing how rich and sure a blessing we have received in Christ, and how great is the eternal life that you have prepared for all who believe in him. Grant to us a spirit of love, that all who have received your tender love may live with the thoughtfulness and the compassion of Jesus toward all people. Grant to us a spirit of joy, that we may share in the song of the angels, the rejoicing of the shepherds, and the treasuring and pondering of Mary. Grant to us a spirit of peace, that as we go out into the world this night, we will go out sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with everyone we meet, that God and sinner will be fully reconciled, that all nations and peoples and families will be reconciled in all the earth, beginning with us, beginning with all who are assembled in Jesus' name tonight. So we pray for our friends and our families, our neighbors and other communities of faith, and we ask that they all may truly experience the pure wonder of Christmas this year. Let love come with every gift, mercy with every greeting, grace with every gathering. May Emmanuel, God with us, be received in every heart, and the light of his salvation fill every soul with eternal life. And we pray for your church gathered in this place and all throughout the world, extending his love, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to be Christ's very presence in this world, sharing his word, living in his will, enjoying his presence, practicing his justice, and always serving others with his heart of compassion, as we seek to walk in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask this time the ushers to come forward for the lighting of the candles, so that in candlelight we may sing together Silent Night. You're welcome to remain seated for the singing together of Silent Night. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Merry Christmas. And may God be with us.